Okay, good vach, everybody. It's a schuss to be back together. Always a special thank you to Aliza and to the Shriers for opening up their bayis to Torah. And Bez Hashem, it should be a big schuss for only Simcha and Bracha. In the month of Simcha, that we're continuing the Simcha, Mirtz Hashem, big Simcha for the family. And the schuss of all the Torah and all the chizik that we have tonight. So for some, you know, Erev Shabbos Kodesh and Shabbos were somewhat bittersweet. Obviously, we always enjoy Shabbos and going into Shabbos. But we have an entire year till we get to Purim again. There's always such excitement and anticipation. I'm sure everybody here enjoyed Purim in a very special way. And it goes very, very quickly. It's only one day. Baruch Hashem, a lot of the Yom Tovim we have are a little bit longer. In another month, we'll have a week of Pesach, Purim, one day. And it goes very, very quickly. And then it's over. But the emes is the avod of our lives, is that whatever inspiration we ever have, and especially moments such as Purim, we have to carry them with us. And it's not just there to have a good time and call it a day and move on. But every single one of us should be a very different person today because of Purim. You know, the Ramah brings down that the minog to extend your Purim Suda into Shushan Purim. La halacha, the Purim Suda should start, and really the rove of the eating should be on Purim itself. So this year was a little bit easier because we changed the clocks already. Some years, Purim is before we change the clocks. So if you, before you change the clocks and Shkia is around 6 o'clock, so you have to have most of your Suda before, they have to start your Suda by 3, 4. 4:30 the latest, maybe. So this year, Shkia was not till 7. So you could have had a little bit later Suda if you would like. But the Ramah brings down that we're supposed to continue the Suda into Shushan Purim. Shouldn't stop when Purim ends. Again, l'halacha, you don't have to. It's not an obligation, but it's a very nice, beautiful thing to do. By me, the Purim Suda went, if you include everything, we ended close to 3 o'clock in the morning. Eventually we had to. It was a very sad ending, but it was mamish close to 3 o'clock in the morning. And what's the idea of continuing into Shushan Purim? On one level, it's to also celebrate, even in Chutz Laaretz and even outside Yerushalayim, to still connect a little bit to Shushan Purim. But perhaps it's also to teach us that we should be taking whatever growth we had during Purim and extending it into the year. It doesn't end with the end of Purim. And there's a lesson we find throughout the Torah. You know, by Yom HaKippurim, we know that Purim and Yom Kippur are very interconnected, right? Yom Kippur is known as Yom Kippurim. It's only like Purim. So Purim and Yom Kippur are very interconnected. It's very holy days on the Jewish calendar. And Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol was involved in Avodah all Yom Kippur long. The Kohen Gadol is doing tons of Avodah. And during all that Avodah, he's constantly being metar himself, purifying himself. He's going to the mikvah to do tefillah in the mikvah. 5 different times he goes to the mikvah, which is a state of tahara before being involved in different avodah. And 10 different times he does kiddush yadayim raglayim. He washes his hands and feet. That's also tahara, to be betahar himself, to purify himself before he's involved in avodah. If you look in the Gemara in Yumadav Lamed, the very last time he does kiddush yadayim raglayim, that he washes his hands and feet, is to put on the big day chol. To put on his at the end of the whole avodah, when he's finished with everything, he's putting on his regular mundane garments, having nothing to do with avodah, not to do with Yom Kippur. And before putting those on, he also is purifying himself. And it's very strange. We understand before you're involved in the day, something that you're doing is very holy. So you have to prepare yourself, and you have to purify yourself, and go to the mikvah and wash your hands and feet and whatever it might be before you're going and putting on the big day chol. Then you're going and washing your hands and feet. Why is that important? So the obvious idea is to know and to understand that too is kadosh. That too is holy. That there are times in our life where HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a special matana and we can feel a little bit closer and we're mitzayir ourselves based on a particular day, based on a particular time, based on a particular place. But the avodah is not just to be in that moment and carry it with us. That inspiration should be with us and we should be a different person because of it. And fill ourselves up with inspiration that I could then build off. You know, Lamashal, I'll give you a mashal to understand. You know, we all drive cars. And in order to drive the car, you have to have gas in the car. Okay, now a lot of people are getting electric cars and a Tesla, whatever you have, so maybe, but even that, you need some sort of power for the car to go. So even if it's an electric car, you got to plug in the car. But we'll use, most of us still are dealing with gas. I don't know how much longer that's going to be. You'll see. But for now, where most of us are dealing with gas station, you go to a gas station and you fill up your car. And then the pump stops going, you know, it's full, and then you're able to go and drive away. But imagine a person goes to a gas station and sits by the gas station, fills up his car, and he just sits there and just sits there and sits there with the pump wanting to put more. And people come and they want to be able to use that pump. He says, no, I need more gas. I need to be able to fill myself up so that I'm able to move, so that I'm able to drive. But he's full already. And he just continues to stay there. So he's a tipesh. He's a fool. Meaning, the whole purpose of filling up the car with gas is in order to drive. If you're never going to go drive, there was no need to fill up your car with gas. You don't need to stay in one place for the rest of your life at the gas station. That's not going to do anything for you. You fill up with gas in order to drive, and you drive for a while, and eventually you're going to need gas again. But then, after you filled up with gas, you have to go and drive. So too, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us special times in the year. Special times in the year of tremendous chizik and inspiration. And He just gave us this past Thursday, Yudal Adar Purim. And that day we were enlivened, we were inspired, and we felt closer to Hashem, and we were besimcha. That was our gas station. But we can't feel bad and yearn to be back in the gas station. Why do I have to be back in the gas station? Now HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, go, drive, it's time to go. Take that and do something with it. Now live your life in a more inspired way, in a more simchatic way, in a different way, because of the gas station that you were in. You don't have to yearn to constantly be in the gas station. Then you're going nowhere. We see this as well. I'll tell you one other makom. Parashat Tetzaveh, by the begadim of the Kohen Gadol. By the clothing of the Kohen Gadol. We just read Tetzaveh not long ago. So we know by the Kohen Gadol. So what do you have to have? You have to have bells. He had to have bells on the bottom of his begadim, right? And the pasuk says in Parashat Tetzaveh, Perek Chaf Ches, pasuk Lamed Hei, Vayoya al Aaron l'sharis v'nishma kolo b'voa al kodesh l'Hashem u'betzeso v'lo yamos. He needed these bells to be able to ring when he'd walk into the kodesh and when he'd leave, so that he wouldn't die. What does it mean, so he wouldn't die? So Rashi explains that the Kohen Gadol and the Kohanim as well, they had a specific clothing they had to wear, right? We learned all about this the last few parashios, in Parashas Tetzaveh, and again in Parashas Pekudei, the big day Kohuna. And if you were mechusar begadim, if you were lacking begadim, if you weren't wearing all the begadim you're supposed to wear, and you did avodah, you're chayv misa. So it's saying you had to ensure that he was wearing these pamon, these bells on the bottom, and because they were so small, saying all the begadim you had to be wearing v'lo yamos, so that you won't die, because otherwise it's dangerous. So the Ramban asks, that makes sense when the pasuk says bevo al kodesh, when he's walking in to do the avodah, of course he needs all his begadim on. But the pasuk also says ubitseso, when he leaves. When he leaves, he's finished with the avodah. There's no chiyav misa to be wearing all the clothing when you're not doing the avodah. Think about it for a moment. Obviously, when he was getting dressed, there was a time period, and when you're getting undressed, there's a time period when the Kohen Gadol wasn't wearing all his begadim. Right? You're putting on one at a time. He's not chayv misa. You're chayv misa if you do the avodah without all the begadim on. So why b'tseiso is that so? When he leaves the avodah, it shouldn't matter if he's wearing all the begadim. But it says, when you go in, u'b'tseiso v'lo yamos, to make sure that you don't die. So perhaps again we could understand the same Yisod. We have to understand, the Kohen Gadol had to understand, yes, he's serving a Kaddish Baruch Hu in Beis HaMikdash. He's serving a Kaddish Baruch Hu b'kedusha v'tahara in the Beis HaMikdash. And that's why, again, when you feel you have to put on your special clothing, you have to prepare for these avodas. But b'tseiso, when you left the Beis HaMikdash, and going to be in your everyday worldly matters, whatever those might be, That's also Avodas HaKodesh. That's also holy avoda. And we can't forget that. And we can't yearn to be in a place that we're not. Because Baruch Hu wants us to make the most of every day and take from the moments of inspiration to prepare ourselves to be Mekayim, Torah Hashem, every day of our lives, in any situation in our life, in whatever we're doing. It could be just as much Avodas Hashem to be sitting in a college class, but like a mensch. It could be sitting in a college class and everybody else in the class is cheating in some way and you're not going to cheat and be be'emes and be erlich on a test. And you know what? You're doing Avodas Hashem just as big as whatever Purim was going on. Maybe bigger. We're inspired in certain times to fill up our gas tanks with our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then I could go and show the Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm with you always. And I know you're with me always. And we have to believe that. And we have to know that. And that's what it is, the schus of being a Yid, is to know that Hashem is by my side every moment and every day. Not just on a Purim, not just on a Pesach, not just on a Yom Kippur. Those are days when it's a little more revealed. Because I have to check in once in a while, so that I could take it with me. And that's our avodah. Our avodah was to be inspired by Purim and walk out a different person so that I could serve Hashem on a new level of avodas Hashem. Sadly, too few understand that. And they go in a Purim, and Purim's gewaldik and besimcha, and by the next day, the day after, the same exact person, like it never happened. So those are people, of course, are yearning and need Purim again, because you didn't actually do Purim. Inspiration, hisoiris, is there to change us to become different people. Tell you a recent story. I gained such chizik from it. Mi talmida yoyse mikulam. You learn most from your talmidim, from your talmidot. So recently I was giving a shir to men. And after the shir was over, a young man came over to me. And he introduced himself. He looked a little familiar, but I didn't know who he was. He says to me, Rebbe, I have to thank you so much. Because of you, I went back to learn Shana Bet in Eretz Yisrael. And because of you, I was supposed to go to a secular college instead of going Shana Bet. I went back to learn a second year in Eretz Yisrael, and then I went on to YU. And Mamish, a lot of who I am is because of you. This is what the guy says to me. So I look at him, I have no idea what he was talking about. I didn't recall any conversation that we ever had in our lives. This wasn't one of my talmidim from DRS or another makom. Maybe he came to it. I've had over the years many conversations with guys as far as trying to be mashpia and the importance of staying a second year and learning for a second year. He wasn't one of them. I didn't think, unless I forgot. Maybe it was Purim, I don't know. I said to him, that's so beautiful, thank you for the beautiful words, but what happened? What are you talking about? When was this? So he tells me that he was in Camp Kaylee a summer a few years ago, after his first year in Eretz Yisrael. And I came for a Shabbos to Camp Kaylee. So this I remember, I came a few times. And I spoke, and I was speaking specifically by Shal Shudis, he told me. And by Shal Shudis, I spoke about the chashivas, how important it is to sit and learn Torah. And how important learning Torah is for someone, and what it can do to someone, and how it builds their relationship with Hashem, and the chashivas of Limud HaTorah. And he said he sat there, and he gained a lot of chizik from it, and he realized, he looked into himself, and said that he needs to build a deeper connection to Limud HaTorah, and he needs to learn Torah full-time for a little bit longer before he moves on to his next, segment of life. And it gave him the chizik to go, and he pushed that he should go back Shana Bet, and he went back, and he sat and learned Shana Bet, and he's a serious Ben Taira, Baruch Hashem. Serious Ben Taira. So Mami, she's my Rebbe. Because I did nothing. Emma says, so wasn't a guy, some guys I have conversations with, try to be mechazik, what I gave a shir. I gave over Torah. How many times does a person go to a shir, and in the middle of the shir, is very inspired and excited and thinking about how they have to be different, or at the end, right after the shir, oh, that was awesome, such amazing words, And mamish, they look back in a day, 2 days, a week, whatever they were inspired, it was nothing. It did nothing for them. Same exact, okay, it still doesn't mean it wasn't special that they sat and learned Torah. It's always good. There's a schusim shein kamo that all of us are learning here tonight. Matzei Shabbos Kodesh, we could be in a lot of other places, having a good time, whatever it might be, doing anything else but learning Torah right now. And that we're here right now, that itself is tremendous. Don't get me wrong, that itself is mamish diamonds. The schusim we're going to have in our lives and for our family, just to be here for this time together on Matzei Shabbos. Matzei Shabbos, you know, we've mainly had Shir Matzei Shabbos. But Lamaisa, it's not always the most, on some level, it could be, but after Shabbos, people have a long Shabbos. There's a lot of things we could be doing. It's tremendous, that alone. But how often we go to a shir, and it is, and we get inspired by the shir, but Lamaisa does nothing for us. For this guy to go, and he was inspired by that shir, and he didn't just leave it and let it be. He went, and he concretized that emotion, that inspiration, that chizik in his auras. He did something with it. And he made a life-altering, life-changing decision that he had to put a lot of time and effort into afterwards. We spoke about it. I'm not going to get into the details now, whatever it was. And you see the simcha in this guy's face. And trust me, he'll be matzliach in parnas as well, in every way. You'll see. Because when you sacrifice for the Rabbanu Shalom, you always win. But it was incredible to me to see. It's so rare, sadly. Somebody that mamish took inspiration from a moment and allowed that to change his life. And that's what we need to be doing. We still could feel, a lot of us could still feel and remember whatever inspiration and thoughts we had on Purim. During the Megillah, during the Suda, during whatever the time might have been. Not leave it at that. Let's allow it to change us, to inspire us. You have to make decisions. That's what it is. The Torah teaches us this lesson. In Parshas Naso. In Parshas Naso, so you have the Parsha of the Nazir that's right after the Parsha of the Sota. The Sota, we know, is a woman who was accused of possibly cheating on her husband and warned not to be b'yichidus, not to be enclosed and together, secluded with that man, and is then seen secluded that man and has to drink, we all know the story, right? Has to drink the special Mei Sota. And if she's found to be that she cheated, her stomach blows up miraculously. Incredible. If she didn't, she's blessed with children, or easy childbirth, with bracha. And right after that portion in the Torah, Parshas Naso, is the parsha of a nazir. What's a nazir? Somebody takes naziris upon themselves. Decides they're not going to drink wine, they're going to grow their hair long, they're going to be a little bit holy, a little less mundane, a little disconnected from the physical, to get closer to Hashem. So the Rashi already asked, why is the juxtaposition of these two parshios? Why is it right after the Sota is the Nazir? Why is that? So what does Rashi say? Whoever knows. Kol haroya Sota b'kakulua yazer atzma min hayayim. Because if a person was there and saw this episode, saw this miracle, sees a woman's stomach blow up. It's inspirational, it's crazy. And you think to yourself then, what? Why possibly did this happen? Very possible, a person would cheat on a spouse, maybe drinking and being under the influence, the person wasn't thinking straight, the das wasn't correct. I don't want that to ever happen to me. Yazir asked me, I'll be a nazir, I'm not going to drink wine. So I heard years ago, I heard this in the summer of 2000. Summer of 2000. 19 years ago. Almost 19 years ago. My first summer married. We were on NTS Wakolo for the summer, my first summer married. And Rav Meir Tursky, the Rashiva in YU, was a gadol and tzaddik. It was his first summer on NTS Wakolo as well. Together with Rav Herschel Schechter, his first summer on NTS Wakolo. It was an amazing summer to spend, our first summer married. And Rav Tursky spoke at a tish, and he asked this question. He asked, I don't understand. He said, the last person that should have to be a Nazir is this person that was present. If you saw with your own eyes such a crazy miracle, you're going to allow that to ever happen to you?
You need to say, oh, I'm going to become a Nazir so that I don't drink and cheat on my spouse? What are you, crazy? You just saw it with your own eyes. What can happen? You need to be the Nazir. You're the last person that should be a Nazir, needs to be a Nazir. So what do you answer? Very beautiful tarots. He says, each and every one of us, we know, when you're in the moment of inspiration, it feels so real, it feels so exciting, it feels like you're going to be that way forever. By the next morning you wake up, by the next day, 2 days later, you're the same exact person. Yom Kippur at Ne'ilah, you feel like you're going to daven like this, every tefillah from that point on. I'm going to always be davening like this. But a day or two later, let's be real, we struggle to have kavanah in our Shemoneh Esrei, or to daven at all. So what's the answer? The answer, Rav Tversky explained, and this is what the Torah is telling you, in the moment of inspiration, you have to be makabel upon yourself, accept upon yourself, to make a change, to do something different, so that you've changed from the inspiration, and then it can be long-lasting. Then that change could always bring you back to the moment of inspiration as well. So if while you're inspired, you become a Nazir, I've changed because of my inspiration. And then it constantly reminds me of the inspiration as well. It's a big avoid in life. So to each and every one of us, we're sitting here, we'll call it, it's Matzei Shabbos Kodesh, but it's basically Matzei Purim. We couldn't have had Shir earlier than that. Even if we always have Shir either Thursday night Matzei Shabbos, this was the earliest time we could have Shir after Purim. This is the first year I'm giving to anybody after Purim. Okay, I spoke by Shal Shudis tonight. That's MS. I don't know if you count that. Okay, I spoke in Chul by Shal Shudis. So second. First one recorded. So, but we're still, hopefully, Purim, when it goes like this, on a Thursday night, into Erev Shabbos, Shabbos is all one long, we still have the chizik. If you go right into a Shabbos, the Kedusha of Shabbos, you still feel Purim, you're still talking about Purim, it's still on our minds, still in our hearts. So let's take a Kabbalah and change because of Purim. In what area? So Emes is each and every one of us, it could be something very different. All of us, we had before Purim together, whether it was here or another Mekoymah, is many shiurim preparing for Purim, and different yisodas and themes of Purim that we spoke about. And seeing the Ribbono Shel Olam even in the hidden, and knowing that we could serve Hashem even in our mundane, regular activities, and all different themes, and there's a lot of themes of Purim, we're not going to go through them all now. But any of them that we tapped into, or just in the most simplistic way, just the simcha of Purim, and grabbing whatever each and every one of us felt on Purim, to think about how you could grab onto that and carry that into the year. And think about it some concrete way that I can allow it to change myself and carry it into the year. And then Purim can last. And then Purim can be all year long. Doesn't have to have ended. The Torah I've shared before, I heard from a Talmud of mine, Elitzur Wagner. He said it from the Mashkiach, his Rebbe, who I'm very close to, in Shalavim, Rav Ari Waxman. He asks, what's Pshat? We have Purim, Yudalit, and Tesvav, right? Meaning we celebrated Purim Thursday, and Friday it was Purim in Yerushalayim Eir HaKodesh, that's Shushan Purim. Shushan Purim clearly is the more chashuv Purim in a way. That's where the whole storyline went down, was Shushan, right? Everything happened in Shushan. So shouldn't that come first? Shouldn't Shushan Purim be first? So he explained, okay, this is a little bit of a chassidish teretz, but it's very beautiful. He says, maybe it is first. Maybe Shushan Purim comes first. What does that mean? Shushan Purim comes first? It doesn't come first. Last time I checked, 15 comes after 14. I don't know if there's any way to say that differently, right? No, there is a way. If you think like this, we know when we have a Yom Tov, Pesach's coming up. So you have the first days of Yom Tov, the last days of Yom Tov, and you have Chol HaMoed in the middle. Maybe Purim as well. The first day of Yom Tov is Shushan Purim, Tazvav. See, our Yom Tov Derabon have to be derisive. It has to be first day Yom Tov, Chol HaMoed, and last day Yom Tov. So Purim starts Tesvav Shushan Purim. All year long is Chol HaMoed Purim. And Purim ends Yudalid. Then Tesvav comes first. Which means that could be a Purim Degayir all year long. I once shared also beautiful Gematria. Purim is Gematria. Who knows what Purim is Gematria? 336. We called Mincha in my house on Purim for 336. I told the Chevra, only if you know why we called it 336 should you be coming to the Suda, otherwise you shouldn't even be at the Suda. Purim's Gematria 336. In the Jewish calendar, in our calendar, how many days are there in the year? 354. How many days are there of Yom Tov de Oraisa? Excellent, Eva. 18. 18 days Yom Tov de Oraisa. You have 7 Pesach, 7 Sukkos, 14. Shemini Atzeres, it's 15. Yom Kippur, 16. Shavuos, 17. And Rosh Hashanah is considered in the Torah, we see Yom HaRichta, one long day. So it's 18. So you have 354 days of the year. 18 already have Simcha v'samach b'chagecha. What's 354 minus 18? No? 336. 336. Purim is a matter of 336 to tell us all the rest of the days that aren't already Yantiv should be Purim Dikah days. Should be the Simcha of Purim. We have to pull it into the year. How can I do that if I'm Makabel, whatever I've gained over Purim, I'm going to be a different person because of Purim. All year. Not just on Purim. And whatever that is for each and every one of you, I don't want to be the one to tell you that. But what I'll do is just share what I've been thinking about from this Purim. I'm going to share one thought. Again, this, what I'm going to share now, doesn't have to be it for you. I want to make that clear. The avodah of each and every one of you individually, if there was something you were deeply inspired by on Purim, whether it was Purim night, Purim day, a Torah you heard, a Torah you thought about, something during the Suda, something, there was so many, I had so many moments of inspiration I could look at. I'll tell you one story, it was incredible, that just right at the first moment of Purim, my mom has changed my life even. That's not even what I'm talking about. First moment of Purim. My father lands Megillah always. Lanes and he's so beautiful. So I go to listen, obviously, with my family and my father. He lanes every year, well, he lanes probably about 20 times throughout Purim. Anyone in the world who needs to lane, he'll run over and lane for them. Mama, she's a tzaddik, he's out of my father. He's running throughout the whole neighborhood, laning Megillah, all Purim long. So he lanes every year. Across the street from him lives a very chashev family of his very close to Dr. Richie Friedman Zatzal's mishpacha. Dr. Richard, if you remember earlier in the year, unfortunately, Amatei Shabbos Kodesh was killed. It was a tzaddik in our community who mamish didn't stop doing chesed for the world. So he lives right around the street, right across the street from my parents. And in his house, that's where like they have the black minion, and you know where they daven Lel Shabbos, they daven a Shabbos Mincha. And that's where every year he reads Megillah. So that's where we read Megillah, with like most of the block and other people's. And so to begin with, it was just that synthesis of Purim and the Simcha of Purim and being in Richie Zatzal's house. It started off even just like this hargasha, this feeling. I can't even explain what that emotions was. But listen to this. So we're in the Megillah, because it was very full and the chairs were all taken up. So I see in the middle, a few psukim already into the Megillah, I'm standing next to my father, he's laning. And there were a couple of people in the dining room were all the men, and in like the living room were all the women, connected. And by us, by the men, there were a couple of people that were sitting on the floor to listen to the Megillah. Because it's fine, and sitting with their backs on a wall against the floor. But mom, it hit me. It was like a crazy feeling, the following, right? When do we sit on the floor? On Tisha B'Av we sit on the floor. There's one time a year you didn't sit on the floor, Tisha B'Av. And finally, Gemara came alive, right? We say, Mishenichnas Adar Marvin B'Simcha. Mishenichnas Adar Marvin B'Simcha. The same Gemara says, Mishenichnas Av Mematim B'Simcha. K'shem Shemishenichnas Av Mematim B'Simcha, Kach Mishenichnas Adar Marvin B'Simcha. Just like in Av, we diminish our Simcha because of Tisha B'Av. So to an Adar, we increase our Simcha because of Purim. Same Gemara equates the two. And it's the craziest Gemara. That's what we want to equate. That's the contrast. Of an Adar. Maybe. And here I'm sitting. So I'm sitting, I'm mamish, I'm standing with the Megillah, and I see people sitting on the floor with Megillah. It was mamish, the two worlds colliding. Because you sit on the floor, Tisha B'Av, and you're sitting, Megillah, Simchav. But that's, it hit me, the oneness. The oneness is all just being one with the Ribbono Shel'Olam. There are times where one, the Ribbono Shel'Olam, we have to be sad because the Shechinah is not here in the same way that it should be because of Churban Beis HaMikdash. The times where one, the Ribbono Shel'Olam, because of Geula, but we're always one with the Ribbono Shel'Olam. And we can sit on the floor and also be a Simcha in a certain sense. Because I know the Ribbono Shel'Olam is by my side. So from the moments of Purim, I was like, we could talk about that, that's not what I want to talk about. I'll tell you my inspiration from this Purim that I haven't stopped thinking about. My Shiraim of Purim. Again, all yours could be different than this and take a Kabbalah in a different area. Just wanted to share this thought. It was a Torah that was left on my phone, a message from a chaver of mine. His name's Ben Isaacs. A guy, Ben Isaacs. Ben's younger brother, Ari, is my age, went to South Shore together. We're super close friends growing up. And Ben's son went to DRS, graduated last year as a senior. And he was a guy, when I was growing up in the neighborhood, almost every Shabbos I'd spend by their house. I used to walk. I lived in Cedarhurst, and they lived in Far Rockaway. I used to walk almost every Shabbos to Far Rockaway to spend time at their house. And now his parents moved to Harborview on the water over there. But La Mesa, then they used to live over there in Far Rockaway. So Ben, recently I've seen Ben a bunch of times, and he's constantly sending me Torah as I send him Torah. Wonderful guy. So he leaves me a message, maybe it was the day before Purim, maybe I didn't listen to it till Purim itself, or maybe it was on Titus Esther. He said, I want to share with you a new pshat in Ad Lo Yada. We know on Purim, or his understanding, I don't know if he said new pshat, or his understanding of Ad Lo Yada. This whole voice message was maybe 50 seconds, changed my whole Purim. We know on Purim we were all supposed to reach, somehow, whatever way we reached it. Whatever we reached it, every one of us was supposed to reach a level, Ad Lo Yada b'Baruch Mordechai Lar Haman. Until you don't know the difference between Baruch Mordechai and Ar Haman. And the obvious question is, what does that mean? God forbid Hashem wants you to say Baruch Haman? Really? Hashem should ever want you to say Baruch Haman? Hashem should ever want you to say Arur Mordechai? Really? It's ridiculous, right? I gave one teretz this earlier a couple weeks ago on the Meaningful Minutes, some of the chevra might have seen. But he shared a new idea. Ben shared a new idea. Listen to what he said. It was so beautiful. He just focused on Ad Lo Yada. What's Ad Lo Yada? You could fit it into Ben Baruch Mordechai Lar Haman as well, but he said as follows. You know, on Purim, we're all just enjoying. We're all just besimcha. And we're with our family and with our friends. And we're giving shalchmanos. We're giving matan savyonim. And we're sitting and having suda together. And we're by Mikra Megillah. And you know what? On Purim, let's be real, nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. Right? I don't know if the Chevra knows Metallica at all. It's a band, I don't know if it wouldn't be too much of a style here. Metallica, they had a song, Nothing Else Matters. Nothing Else Matters. Having a very beautiful song. They're like more hard rock, but this one's like, this is a slower song. But okay, anyways, Lemaiza, Nothing Else Matters. Nothing Else Matters. I'm living in the moment. Ad Lo Yada, he wanted to say, man, Ad Lo Yada, until I don't know about anything else. So many of us, we allow our daigas, our worries of the past, our worries of the future to grab hold of us and take over our lives, that I can't enjoy any moments of life. Because I'm never living in the moment. Because I'm living about yesterday and living about tomorrow. I'm worried about things that I've done in the past, and people that I've done things to, and what people are thinking about me from the past. I'm worried about what's going to be in my future, and who am I going to be in 5 years from now, and how's my partner? No. And because of the past and the future, I don't even live in the present. And when I'm not living in the present, I'm never besimcha, I'm never happy, I'm never enjoying, I'm never in the moment. Ad Lo Yada means until I don't even know anything else, I don't care about anything else. Ad Lo Yada, Ben Baruch Mordechai, all the brach in the world, Ar Haman, all the curses and difficulties, I'm not thinking about any of that. None of that matters. Ad Lo Yada, Ben Baruch Mordechai, Ar Haman. None of that matters in my life. All that matters is the moment right now. It doesn't matter how much bracha I had before, how much bracha I'm going to have tomorrow. It doesn't matter how much aura I had before, how much aura I'm going to have tomorrow. I'm just enjoying the moment. I'm living in the moment. And that's what we all, on Purim, we're all able to do that. On Purim, I'm not thinking about my parnasa. And on Purim, none of us are thinking about shiduchim. Nobody's going on a shidduch day on Purim. Nobody's not done. I'm not thinking about it. For this day, it's off my mind. On Purim, I'm in Purim. On Purim, I'm worried about enjoying Purim. And I can live the moment. And when I'm living the moment of life, yesterday is not this like heavy burden on this shoulder, and tomorrow is not the burden on my other shoulder, and I'm just here, that's how I'm besimcha. I enjoy, because life is actually good. Like Hashem gives us bracha, and mishpacha, and chevra, like a lot of good things that we never focus on because I'm so worried about the past and the future. But if I could live in the moment, it would be awesome. And the more moments I could live, the more awesome life is going to be. And the more enjoyable life is going to be. And the more simcha I could have in my life. That's Ad Lo Yada. And that's what I'm going to try personally to carry into the year. Living in the moment. Not worrying about the past, not worrying about the future, just enjoying the moment. And doing the most with, not just enjoying the moment, doing the most with the moment. That's how I'll be most productive as well. If I do the most with every moment, those moments will add up. You'll see what we could accomplish in this world in incredible ways. Because when I'm worried about yesterday, I never give my all to today. And when tomorrow's in my mind as well, I'm contemplating tomorrow, so I can't do what I'm supposed to be doing now. We'll accomplish the most that way as well. We'll be most accomplished. And most besimcha. I want to read you a piece. I think I've read this once before in a different light. But when I heard this from Ben Isaacs, and it changed my Purim, and I believe and I hope it will change my life, I couldn't stop thinking about this Torah from Rav Nachman of Breslov in Likutei Moharan. Emma says, I wish I would have photocopied it for the Chevra, but I haven't been in yeshiva or anywhere near a photocopy machine since I heard the Torah, and since you see, usually I prepared the shiurs, usually they're typed up and printed out like this. On Friday afternoon, I like just wrote this up like this, you know. Sometimes those are the best Torahs. So Rav Nachman Breslov says, if I'm going to read it to you, we'll send the picture, I'll send it out on the share chat, Amir Tashem, so you could see it and have it and photocopy it and put it up on your wall and learn this, because live this Torah. It's amazing, it's Torah. Rav Nachman's Torahs are numbered, like starting at 1 and going straight. This is Torah 272, so it should be Reish Ayim Beis. But Reish Ayim Beis, Ra'av, what's Ra'av mean? What's a Ra'av? Hunger, famine, right? So we don't want to call a piece of Torah Ra'av, that's a negative connotation. So he flips around the letters, Ayin Reish Beis, Arev, which is sweet and pleasant. So it's the sweetest Torah. Listen to this Torah. He quotes a pasuk in Tehillim, we should all know it's in our tefillos, Hayom im bikolo tishma'u. From Tehillim Tzadi Hei. Tehillim Tzadi Hei. That's cool, it's Tehillim Tzadi Hei, you know why? You know what the gematria of Haman is?
95.
Tzadi Hei. So this Torah is based on that, because this is what's going to flip around Haman. You ready, Chavar? Hayom im bekolo tishmu. Today, if we listen to his voice, he doesn't quote it, but I believe what he's really getting into is there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin that's based on that pasuk, says it's talking about when Mashiach will come. Mashiach will come hayom, today, im bekolo tishmu, if we listen to Hashem. That's pashup shot. But he focuses on a different word, not if we listen to Hashem. You know when Mashiach will come? If it's all about hayom, if it's all about today. Listen to how he says it. There's a big rule in Avodas Hashem. Shelo yasim l'neged einav ki imoso ayom. That we can't place in front of our eyes but that day. Hein basic parnasa v'starchusa. When dealing with parnasa, with our sustenance. Tzarch shelo yachshav miyom chaver. We can't worry from one day to the next. We can't worry about how am I going to pay for my grandchild's chasana. We're so worried, do I have enough money and enough savings to pay for my grandchild's chasana? Relax a little bit. Kemuva b'sfarim. V'chein b'avodah so yisparach, and so too in our avodas Hashem. When we're serving Hashem, in our davening, in our learning, in our chesed, in the way we dress, whatever it might be. Lo yasum l'neged einav kim osa yom v'osa asha. We can't place in front of our eyes but that day and that moment. We can't worry about tomorrow. How am I going to daven tomorrow? How am I going to worry about davening today? Why? When you want to enter into Avodas Hashem and start serving Hashem properly, it feels like this big burden. There's so much. You want to take a bun. I'm going to learn Hilchos Shabbos. You take and you look and you get Rav Ribiat's 4 gray books, right? They're awesome, but they're massive. And you think to yourself, oh my gosh, when am I going to have to go through 4,000 page books? Really? And you say, forget the whole thing. Feels like it's big masek kaved. And to think about davening with kavana, but every day, twice a day, like really? It's just not going to happen. V'yashar lo lisa masek kaved kzu. I can't bear that burden. It's too much. But if you think to yourself, don't worry about tomorrow, and don't worry what you did in the past, just worry about today. Today I could daven with kavana. Today I could learn whatever I have the time to learn today. Today I could do as much chesed as I could do today. Lo yilu masaklal, there's no burden. That's not a lot. Whatever that is, that is. I know I'm limited by time. Whatever time I could do with my day, I'm going to do. Also, don't push off from one day to the next. Say, tomorrow I'll start. It's all about tomorrow, right? Tomorrow I'll start davening kavanah. With the proper strength. That's every area of our life. Whatever the area is, we can't worry about the past. Havarai in its past. And the future, it hasn't come yet. All we have is today. Ki ein la, listen to these words. Ki ein la dem bolamo kim osa hayom va osa shoshomebo. All that a person has in life is that day that we are sitting in. That moment. All we have is today, this moment. Right now. If you came to this shir, and the whole time you were focused on something that happened over Shabbos, or the whole time you're focused on something you're doing tomorrow, so you didn't learn a word here. You wasted your hour. If you were able to be here and be present in the moment, hopefully we gain tremendously. And that's true in every moment of life. Live the moment. Because tomorrow, as the Disney film says, right? It's a whole new world. It's a whole new world. And that's what it means. Hayom im b'kolo tishmu. You want to know when Mashiach is going to come? When you focus, not... We thought the emphasis is in b'kolo tishmu, if we listen to Shem. No. Hayom! If you live today. If you live today. Hayom daika. That's what we have to focus upon. On the hayom. Making the most of the hayom. So Chevra, we're here, and we just went through the Hail Yant of Purim. We had a month and a half this year to prepare for that one day. And hopefully we all gained chizik and isoris from it. But the bigger avodah from Purim is not for Purim. It's actually carrying Purim into the year. The avodah I gained was hayom. Maybe you gained something different. That's fine. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. To carry it into the year. I think that's also what ends with Avodah Torah. I think that's also what we saw in this morning's parashah. There's no question that Kadosh Baruch Hu in the parashah is teaching us lessons and ideas we need for this time in our lives. In parashah Tzav this morning, Perek Vav, Pasuk Vav. The Torah taught us a beautiful pasuk. You probably all know it because it's on top of many Aron Kodesh in different places. It's in Eish Kodesh and Woodmere. It's on top of the Aron Kodesh. The pasuk, Eish Tamid Tukad Al Hamizbeach Loisichbe, which means an eternal flame should be burning on the Mizbeach Loisichbe. It can't be extinguished. The obvious question is, the words Loisichbe, the words it can't be extinguished, are superfluous, are extra. If it's an eternal flame, if it's an Eish Tamid, then obviously it's a little sichbe. It can't be extinguished. Right? If it's an eternal flame, obviously a little sichbe. So why does it have to say a little sichbe? If it's an Eish Tamid, vad the little sichbe. The Yerushalmi in Yuma says, lo sichbe comes to include af b'masos. The Mizbeach in the Mishkan. So when it was in the Mishkan set up, you can't, it was an Eish Tamid, internal. I don't need to tell me it can't be extinguished. I would have thought when they were b'masos, when they were traveling, you'd put out the fire. I'm not bringing korbanos when they're walking and traveling to the next place. Lo sichbe adds, af b'masos, even when they were traveling away, don't put out the fire. Chevre, the Mizbeach represents our avodas Hashem. That's where we served Hashem in the Mishkan, in the Beis HaMikdash. Was the most important focal point of the Beis HaMikdash. It's where Kedesh Yitzchak took place, the Rambam says. When we serve Hashem, so there are moments when we're in the Mikdash, in the Purim, and our fire is burning bright. Lo sich be'af b'masos. When we travel away, when we walk away, don't extinguish the fire. The fire should still burn bright. Bez Hashem is Baruch, each and every one of you should be Zoche. That the inspiration of Purim should be pulled into the year and live Purim all year. Be makabel and think about something where you were inspired, whether it's this idea of living in the moment and the simcha that brings or some other idea of Purim. Grab onto it. Be makabel something in your life so that you can remember it, so you can connect to it. So that when in a month from now, in 2 months from now, you look back and say, Purim's still with me. I'm a different person because of Purim. And those moments add up to tremendous growth. Bez Hashem is Baruch, each and every one of you is Zeiche. Most importantly, to have the Simcha of Purim with you always. We're still in Adar, in this additional Simcha that we're still feeling. Mishnech Zadar Marbin B'Simcha. Yishvizoichet always be B'Simcha. Always be growing, always connecting to the Kedush of our lives, always feeling Hashem by our sides. And that's when we'll be Zeiche, not just to Geula of Purim. There was already some level of Geula, but not a full Geula. It's one of the reasons we didn't say Hallel on Purim. We still had Achashverosh, we didn't have a base of Mikdash. We should be Zeiche if we tap into the Kedush of Purim. And Shoshem, we're changing, we're growing. To be Zeiche, to Geula Shleima with Pinyin Beis HaMikdash, Bimhera, Biyameinu, Bekarav Mamash. I wish you have a beautiful Heilige week, and we will continue, Merz Hashem.